This is the Black and Blue Report presented by ABC Insurance Agencies, a better choice for insurance. Now from Studio B, or wherever the Saints or Pelicans might be, here's Daniel Sellerson.
What's going on? Welcome into the Wednesday edition of the Black and Blue Report. I'm Daniel Sellerson, filling in for Sean Kelly. Thanks for making us a part of your day. Halfway through the week, and tomorrow now, something to look forward to, as the NFL schedule will be released at 7 o'clock Central. You can watch the shows on ESPN and NFL Network, but of course, keep it locked on NewOrleansSaints.com and the mobile app, as they will have all the coverage of the Saints announcing their schedule. Of course, we already know the opponents and the preseason opponents. Now it's just a question of when they will play, where, and what channel to be locked into as well. So lots of stuff to look forward to on the NFL side. And of course, we're getting closer and closer to the NFL draft, which means we'll continue our draft preview today. We'll go to pick number 6. Again, we're not doing this in any particular order, just trying to accomplish talking to teams ahead of the Saints to try to get their mindset on what some of these teams might do. But also, we'll look around the NFC South as well. We already did the Tampa Bay Buccaneers on Monday. Yesterday, we heard from Jim Wyatt of TitansOnline.com to get a perspective on the Titans and what they might do with their two first-round picks. And today, we'll head up north to New York and hear from the Jets. Eric Allen, senior reporter, NewYorkJets.com. We'll talk about what the Jets might do at pick number 6. They also have two third-round picks. How would they parlay those maybe into another pick? And what they might do with their QB situation, is there's three guys that legitimately can be their starting quarterback once the 2017 season starts, with Bryce Petty, Christian Hackenberg, and Josh McCown. So we'll talk to Eric Allen about all those topics. And of course, three games in the books, two from the Eastern Conference, one from the Western Conference yesterday, and three more tonight. Atlanta at Washington, Oklahoma City at Houston, and Portland at Golden State. We're going to hear from Joel Meyer, television voice of your New Orleans Pelicans. He'll give us his thoughts on the playoffs so far, which teams we should look out for, which series might go to game 6 or 7, and of course we'll talk Pelicans as well with him. He'll kind of recap his thoughts on the 2016-17 season for New Orleans. So, man, oh man, we're getting closer and closer to the draft. The playoffs are in full swing. Joel's also very excited about the hockey playoffs, which have been fun to watch as well. So we're going to get started here on this Wednesday. We'll start with the NFL draft coverage and hear from Eric Allen, senior reporter of NewYorkJets.com. Then we'll hear from Joel Myers on this Wednesday. Stay with us. You're listening to the Black and Blue Report.
The future is bright for our New Orleans Pelicans with the addition of all-star DeMarcus Cousins. Along with Anthony Davis and Drew Holiday, the time is now to become a Pelican season ticket holder. For a limited time, receive a food and beverage gift card worth up to $600. So don't miss out on any of the action. Call 504-525-HOOP or visit Pelicans.com today and win the night.
Staying informed before and after a storm is critical. Hello, I'm Dave Mason, Entergy lineman and safety specialist. Sign up for text alerts by downloading the free Entergy app. If the power goes out, we'll keep you informed with outage maps and alerts. You can also visit EntergyStormCenter.com, where you can learn how we are preparing for the storm and how you can prepare. That's EntergyStormCenter.com.
What's up, Black and Gold fans? This is Anthony Mackie, Seven Wars Soldier, Drew Brees' disciple. You are listening to the Black and Blue Report.
Well, the New York Jets sit at pick number 6 as of now, and joining me to talk about the New York Jets and their offseason is Eric Allen, senior reporter for NewYorkJets.com. Eric, can you believe that the draft is almost here?
I can't believe it, but there is no offseason in the National Football League anymore. It just seems like yesterday we were in Indy for the combine and then free agency, and it's a whirlwind, and here we go, pro days, and now the draft is only a few hours away.
It never ends, that's for sure. From the outside looking in, Eric, it seems like this has been an interesting offseason for the Jets. 6 of the 9 highest players from last year are gone for the Jets. How would you describe this offseason for New York?
Well, I mean, a disappointing year last year, as we all know. I mean, and Todd Bowles and Mike Maccagnan's first year, they took over a team and they added some pieces and they won 10 games and they were right there on the edge of making the playoffs. They beat the Buffalo Bills in week 17. They would have made the playoffs in their first year. So what the Jets did was basically keep that roster intact. Of course, you make changes. Every team makes changes in the offseason, but they tried to keep that roster intact and see if they could make a run at it once again. But last year, it never materialized for the Jets. And unfortunately, they finished with a 5-11 record. So in the offseason, I made it a clear priority to say, hey, listen, we're going to get younger and we're going to try to build for the draft. So, and then in the salary cap era, I don't think most of these changes were surprises, but they're big names when you let go guys like Darrell Revis, who's going to be in the Hall of Fame one day. Brandon Marshall also, who departed, is now a New York Giant. He's probably a Hall of Famer as well. Nick Mangold, a perennial All-Pro player for this team, who's a free agent right now, and he'll probably be in this team's ring of honor someday. Nick Folk, even you look at the kicker position, number two scorer in this franchise's history. Breno Giacomini, right tackle, started a couple seasons for this team. So, yeah, a lot of big name, prominent names departed here for the Jets in the offseason. And then prior to the draft, what they did was, I think, a low-risk, high-reward signings. Calvin Beecham, a guy who played very well with the Pittsburgh Steelers, and he suffered an injury last year in Jacksonville. He's just working his way back, but he's a guy that's good in pass protection. He's tough. He could potentially start for the Jets at left tackle. Morris Claiborne, the former number six overall selection in the draft by the Dallas Cowboys, he's had difficulty staying on the field, but when he was healthy last year, he played very well. He looked like a number one cornerback, so the Jets brought him in here, and he'll be playing on the outside for this team. And then they made a signing there at the quarterback position because Ryan Fitzpatrick no longer here. Geno Smith actually signed with the Crosstown Giants, just like they aforementioned Brandon Marshall, but they bring in Josh McCown, a guy who's entering. He's been in the league for a long time. This is his 10th team. He just started off-season workouts with the Jets, but everybody raves about his intangibles, and he won't be uncomfortable about learning a new system here with the Jets under John Morton. And that's lastly, I mean, it's long-winded, but you can cover a lot with the Jets offseason, is they made a lot of coaching changes. They got a new offensive coordinator, John Morton, a guy you guys know about very well there in New Orleans, a guy who's thought very highly of by Sean Payton. I talked to him about it at NFL owners meetings. They got a new quarterbacks coach here in Jeremy Bates, and the defensive staff, a lot of new positional coaches. Most notably, I think, is the outside linebackers coach, Kevin Green, guy who finished number three in the NFL on the NFL sacks all-time list. So a lot of change for the Jets, but overall, if you got a theme here, it's built for the draft, get younger, and the Jets are a team in transition right now.
So let's talk about this draft. They have seven picks as of now. The number sixth overall pick, two third-round picks. One is a compensatory pick. What direction do you feel like the Jets will go maybe with that first pick, or is it so hard to tell you feel like they could go in so many other different directions?
It's hard to tell. Yeah, you hit the nail on the head because this is a team that has a lot of needs, and Mike McKagan has been clear about it too, that like I've been saying, he wants to build through the draft. So a guy who wants to build through the draft, he wants more draft picks. So he said in Indianapolis at the Combine, he said, we are open for business. If anybody wants to give us a call and likes where we're at, number six overall, in a very deep draft, give us a call because the Jets would definitely entertain offers, not just in that first round, but in every round of the draft. But they do have four picks in the first three rounds. The number six overall spot, you know, the familiar names are out there. The Jets, like I said before, they have a lot of needs. So I don't really think you could say, okay, they're definitely going to go in this direction. Early on in the draft, we both know that it seems like a lot of defensive names are going to be called early. Miles Garrett probably goes number one overall. You got Solomon Thomas up there. But Then it's going to be interesting how the board falls and the quarterback domino. So who's going to be the first team to take a quarterback? I've always been I've always thought that, hey, if you love a quarterback, take them wherever you're at. And the Jets going to be in a position at six overall where all quarterbacks are still on the board at that point. There's some other interesting names out there. How early would you take a safety? Jamal Adams from LSU, a guy that folks down there know awfully well, a tremendous player for the Tigers. I mean, he could be on the board at six. How about the guy like Malik Hooker, who played awfully well at Ohio State? And then you think about the cornerback position. It's fascinating because a lot of depth, a lot of talent, and a lot of folks think Marshawn Lattimore is the best of this bunch. It's going to be very interesting. And then lastly, you got to flip over the offensive side of the ball. Leonard Fournette, where's he going to go? Will he be on the board at number six? And how early do you take a tight end? Because a lot of folks think O.J. Howard is the best tight end coming out in a long time. So they'll be in a fascinating spot. If they stay there at six, they're going to get an impact player. But they might get an offer that might be too good for Mike Maccagnan to refuse, and he wouldn't mind moving back.
I want to go back to the QB situation because you have three guys that could be competing for the starting job heading into this season with Hackenberg, Bryce Petty, and then Josh McCown, as you just added. Is there still an option on the table where the Jets do take a quarterback some point in the draft?
Well, definitely. They definitely could take a quarterback in the draft. Yeah, and I know a lot of people are pointing to six overall. Well, no, they could take a quarterback in the third round or the fourth round. Yeah, in each of Mike Maccagnan's first 2 years as general manager, the Jets addressed the quarterback position. They took Bryce Petty in the fourth round. And then, like you mentioned, they took Hackenberg last year in the second round. So Maccagnan's always thought of having a quarterback pipeline. Per se, but yes, they think both of these guys are talented. And like I mentioned before, they'll be working with the new coaching staff, quarterback guru, and Jeremy Bates, who a lot of people are really high on that acquisition. And that'd be interesting how John Morton's going to do in this first year as offensive coordinator here. But yeah, if the Jets like a quarterback, they'll take one in the draft. It'll be no surprise at all. But that doesn't necessarily mean at six. They could take one later in the draft like they've done before, most notably Petty, taking him in the fourth round.
It should be interesting to see what the Jets do there with pick number six and their seven picks overall. That's Eric Allen, senior reporter for NewYorkJets.com. Eric, I appreciate the time, and we'll talk to you soon, my friend.
Thanks so much. Looking forward to another draft.
All right, when we come back, we'll hear from the television voice of the Pelicans, Joel Myers. You're listening to the Black and Blue Report.
The Bayou Country Superfest is coming to New Orleans, starring Blake Shelton.
Boys round here, drinking that ice cold beer.
Miranda Lambert.
You can't ride in my little red wagon.
Brooks and Dunn. Rascal Flatts.
I like the sound.
Thomas Rhett.
The happy man.
Hank Williams Jr.
All my rowdy friends are coming over tonight.
And more. Hey, Memorial Day weekend, May 26th through 28th at the air-conditioned Mercedes-Benz Superdome. Tickets on sale now with Blake Shelton, Miranda Lambert, Brooks and Dunn, Rascal Flatts, Thomas Rhett, Hank Williams Jr., Brett Eldridge, Old Dominion, and more. Plus a free kickoff concert May 26th. For hotel info, visit BayouCountrySuperfest.com. Sponsored in part by Bud Light, the official beer of the Bayou Country Superfest.
Ochsner believes the best way to predict the future is to invent it. Here, our doctors and staff are changing lives day after day.
Every week, I'm operating on babies who are days old with hearts smaller than walnuts. We're giving these kids a life they wouldn't otherwise have, a chance to grow up.
Sometimes, cancer patients come who were told they were out of options. But Ochsner has the most clinical trials in the state. It's amazing to be able to give second chances.
We're always a step ahead, even with simple things, like getting you in to see a doctor today versus a week from now, so what you have doesn't become something bigger. It makes a difference.
Every day, Ochsner is creating a better future by looking forward and thinking differently to find life-changing solutions. That's healthcare with peace of mind. Appointments are available today. Call 866-OCHSNER or visit Ochsner.org.
We're talking NBA playoffs on the Black and Blue Report.
All right, time to talk basketball on this Wednesday. Joining me now is Joel Meyer, television voice of the Pelicans. You also can hear him every morning on Sirius XM Radio NBA. Joel, happy playoff season to you, my friend.
It is the best of times, Daniel. Not only NBA, but I'm kind of a puckaholic too. So, and my Blues are currently out going into the game later this evening on Wednesday night. The Blues are up 3-0 on the Minnesota Wild in the best of seven in the first round of the NHL playoffs. So it is the best of times. I just watched a couple of overtime games late into the evening, past midnight in the NHL. So NBA, NHL, these are good days.
Absolutely. And isn't it funny with the NHL, the three teams that had the best odds of winning the Stanley Cup are down 2-1, 3-0, and 3-0. Talk about some of the parity in the NHL playoffs. It is pretty fun to watch.
It's wild. And for Toronto to come back from 3-1 at home down to Washington and Ovechkin to win that game 4-3, and then you bring up Chicago.
Yeah.
Chicago's one of those top three teams. And Chicago down 3-0 to Nashville now. So very entertaining times. And we could have never anticipated that. I don't know if we're going to see that in the NBA. Quite like what we've already seen in the NHL.
Yeah, I agree with you there. But so while I have you on the subject of the playoffs, let's talk that first before we get into the Pelicans. Granted, we are taping this on Tuesday, so we don't know the results of Tuesday night's game with all three teams looking to win two straight games on the road. But if you had to guess maybe one or two series, which ones do you think maybe could go to six or seven games?
Well, the Chicago Bulls, Boston Celtics, now that Chicago has taken game one. The Celtics are a number one seed, but they don't scare anybody. So with Chicago getting a big game from Bobby Portis over the weekend, Robin Lopez, and that's an issue for Boston anyway, going in the boards. And can they rebound with bigger and better teams? And Chicago is not a better team, but they're a better rebounding team. Chicago led the league in second-chance points. Boston gave up the fourth most points on second-chance opportunities. So, and it bit them in the opener. They got crushed 20-12 on the offensive glass. Robin Lopez had 8 offensive rebounds. The Chicago surprised them. If you're going to steal the game, it's going to be game one. But with that said, I still think that's going to be a 6 or 7 game series. The Raptors and Bucks, that should also be a long series. Wizards, Hawks, I don't see it that way. Cavaliers and the Pacers, that should be 5, similar to the Wizards and the Hawks. And then over in the Western Conference, a long series, I don't know if we'll get it, except for maybe the Clippers and Jazz. That could go 6 or 7 games.
Were you surprised? I know, again, we don't know the results of Jazz-Clippers, but were you surprised that the Jazz were able to steal game one, even with Rudy Gobert going out in the first few seconds of the game?
Yeah, to a certain extent, because Chris Paul played really well, so did Blake Griffin. But then Jamal Crawford, who they count on for so much, was just 4 of 12. J.J. Redick had 7 points in 27 minutes, and really didn't get enough shots. He was just 3 for 6. So the Clippers there's got to be better distribution. And Chris Paul had 11 assists with only one turnover and scored 20-plus points. But when I say distribution, just balance up and down their roster. So they didn't have one reserve in double figures, and they improved their bench. So that surprised me more than the Jazz just outright winning the game, that they didn't get other components involved. So Jazz are really well coached by Quinn Snyder. And picking up Joe Johnson, which was a good matchup, he got Crawford where he wanted him. Jamal Crawford is not on the floor for defensive purposes at the end of regulation there for the game winner. And George Hill is now healthy and sound. They got Derek Favors to play 32 minutes, and he hardly played at all down the stretch. So he's rested, hopefully healthy. That's going to be the best series. And I felt that way 4 against 5 anyway, regardless of who had home court. I thought that was going to be the best series going in.
No doubt about that. And I know a lot of people anticipate already when the playoffs started that we could see a Warriors-Cavs rematch in the NBA Finals. Do you see that happening still, or do you feel like there's a team out there that maybe could sneak into the Finals?
Oh, San Antonio could definitely come out of the West. There's no doubt in my mind. San Antonio has enough. Now, will they get everything they need? And you got to remember, Ginobili's 38, Parker's 34. Their legs aren't the same. How much is going to be taken out of them if they do get to the conference finals? They shouldn't have a real test with Memphis in the first round. If it went five, that's about it. San Antonio could come out of the West. The East is more clearly defined because Cleveland is going to gain momentum. Pacers should have won game one with a great look for C.J. Miles. They need somebody to take something out of them. And when I say something out of them, more games, more minutes, more body blows before they get to the conference finals or the second round even. But we'll see if there's somebody capable of doing that, if there's a shock effect, whether it's Milwaukee or one of the other younger teams like Washington.
What about the Houston Rockets? I know a lot of people thought they got a lot of offensive weapons there that maybe compete with the Warriors. Is there any shot of them maybe competing to get to the NBA Finals, or are they still a couple pieces away from getting there?
I'd be shocked if they got to the Finals. And I only bring that up because they're not a two-way team. Mm-hmm. All they can do is outscore you.
Right.
If they're on, they will outscore you, but they're not going to stop you. And then you look at the Warriors and the Spurs, they're the first and second in defensive efficiency. So, and the Warriors are first in offensive efficiency, Spurs first in defensive efficiency. So, no. The Rockets are entertaining and should survive OKC in the first round, but it's a make or miss league. And when they're on and they're making them, they're sensational, like they were in game one when they smoked OKC. But no, not to the – if they got to the conference finals, it would surprise me, let alone the NBA finals.
Right, they got to get to the Spurs there, absolutely. Let's head to the Pelicans. I wish we were talking about the Pelicans in the postseason right now, but unfortunately for the second straight year, they are out. I asked Jim Eichenhofer this on Tuesday's show, Joel. Give me your overall thoughts on this season for the Pelicans.
Well, it was tough because of the adjustments. First, you get to a slow start, and you can't blame that on Drew, who's where he should have been. And they could have recovered, let's face it, because look at Miami, who started out 11-30 and finished with a 500 record. So you can't blame it on the slow start. You've got to make adjustments along the way. So the disappointing aspect of it, then the big trade, and you lose 40% of your made threes in Buddy, Langston, and Tyreek. And then you bring in, since the All-Star break, the last 25 games of the season, DeMarcus Cousins, but you don't have enough around him for spacing purposes. So there wasn't a balanced roster once DeMarcus Cousins got there. So it was, put it this way, and Alvin said it in his presser. He said, as a whole, it was a disappointing season. And I agree. It was just frustration throughout the course because they'd win four games and you get psyched, you get excited, and they drop three of it the next four.
Right.
That was the frustration aspect of it.
Yes, I agree with you there. Let's talk about some intrigue, at least going into the offseason, when you have DeMarcus Cousins and Anthony Davis, chance of maybe signing Drew Holiday. Do you at least feel a little better heading the offseason knowing you have two top 10 players in AD and Cousins, especially when we saw spurts of how well they played together in the last part of the season?
Well, they were developing chemistry, and you like that. And they really get along. And DeMarcus is trying to fit. There's no question about that. With that said, they are restricted economically.
Mm-hmm.
They don't have as much cap space as a lot of teams, and they need shooting. So you've got to go out and you've got to find shooters, and then you have to find guys that are going to have breakthrough years, even if they've been in the league for a few years, because you're not going to get upper level. You want to keep Drew, and you want to add to that, and there's other free agents out there. But the key may be Quincy Pondexter, and I hate to put it on him, but he hasn't been on the floor for 2 years. And when he was on the floor, he was a spacer, and he was a good 3-and-D guy. So if Pondexter comes back, that changes the equation because they have to guard him. He'll keep him honest. And there's going to be one guy you have to add that's going to be a key, whether it's a 3 or whether it's a shooter, a 2. But you need some shooting. You need some spacers, and that's got to be a priority for the Pels now.
Right. And Dell Demp said it in his press conference that if Quincy is able to come back, that's basically like signing a free agent. Let's talk about some of the free agents from last year that played in their first year with the Pelicans, Solomon Hill and Etuan Moore. What did you see out of them? What did you like? And maybe what can they maybe improve on heading into next season?
Well, Etuan is a pro. He's just so solid. You know you're going to get. There's no mystery there. We're still trying to figure out. We know it at the defensive end of the floor, Solomon is an active guy. He's a really good defender and energy guy. He's not a spacer. He's not a three-point shooter right now. So that aspect of the game has to improve. And just overall, he's an undersized four, and we're playing him kind of out on a wing. So when he attacks and is aggressive, he's a different player at the offensive end. He can't settle. And you look at the end of the night, and you see he's taken eight shots and five or six of threes. But you'd like to see it the other way, two or three or threes. And most of the other stuff was attacking the rim and getting to the free throw line too. So those are adjustments these guys have to make. Etwan, though, he knows his game. Actually, Etwan had a better handle than I thought. Because you don't know a guy until you see him. And I'd seen him in Boston for a couple of years, Orlando a couple of years, the last couple of years in Chicago. But he had a much better handle, much better take, and nice little floater. So Etwan's a good player, hard player. He's the type of guy you want in that role. So he's everything as delivered and advertised. And that's the kind of guy you want to add during the offseason once again. Plus, he can hit the three, which is nice to have.
Let me ask you this one more question before I let you go, and this might not be a fair question, but I'm going to ask it anyways. And is this the most important offseason for this franchise since it's moved here, or are we overhyping it a little bit by labeling it as that?
Well, you can't say it's the most important because right. We don't have our draft pick
yep.
any longer. You can't anticipate that going in, that you're going to get lucky in a lottery and get your top three protected pick. You already spent that on DeMarcus Cousins.
Yes.
And then who is your core group? Well, you've got two, and you hope three. So I wouldn't put that kind of pressure saying it's the most important offseason. It's instrumental, though, in identifying and figuring out what you need. And I think they have a pretty good idea of what they need to be competitive. And this year in the Western Conference, that's what hurts so much, that you could have been a little over 500. And gone to the postseason and been one of the eight teams from the Western Conference. So they've identified the shooting. Now they got to figure out economically how they slice up the pie. And what is required for Drew to keep Drew Holiday, add a couple of 3-and-D guys, or two, or three, some shooters and spacers. But I wouldn't say it's the most important because you don't have the draft pick any longer.
Fair enough. Fair enough. And hopefully next year, this time, Joel, we're not talking about the Pelicans out of the postseason. We're talking about them in the playoffs. That's Joel Myers, television voice of the Pelicans. Of course, you can hear him on SiriusXM, the NBA channel, as he's there every morning. Joel, I appreciate the time, as always, my friend. Enjoy the rest of the hockey and NBA playoffs.
Yeah, we'll have fun, Daniel. See you soon.
All right. When we come back, I'll wrap up this Wednesday edition of the Black and Blue Report.
Are you ready for a slimmer and trimmer you? Smoothie King's new and improved Slim and Trim meal replacement smoothies are here. Now with just 250 or fewer calories per 20-ounce cup, they're slimmer and trimmer than ever. Keep your diet on track and feel fuller longer with at least 11 grams of protein and 6 grams of fiber. Add Smoothie King to your diet today with new and improved Slim and Trim smoothies in 3 delicious flavors. Only at Smoothie King. Smoothies with a purpose. Diet and weight loss depend on individual needs, eating right, and exercising daily.
If you don't want to miss out on any of the action, get connected with your New Orleans Pelicans 24/7, 365. Like us on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter for exclusive prizes and giveaways. Plus text with all the latest breaking news right on your phone with Pelicans mobile alerts. Visit Pelicans.com for information on these great features. Plus sign up for Pelicans Insider with weekly updates from the Pelicans. Join the conversation today.
Want each show delivered right to your iPhone or iPad? Subscribe to the podcast on iTunes by searching Black and Blue Report.
All right, time to get out of here on this Wednesday. Big thanks to Eric Allen, senior reporter, NewYorkJets.com, and Joel Myers, television voice of your New Orleans Pelicans on tomorrow's show. The NBA on ESPN Radio's Kara Lawson will join us as she will talk to Sean Kelly about the NBA playoffs. She also covers college basketball for ESPN. And we'll hear from Annie Heilbrunn, who covers the now Los Angeles Chargers. They are at pick number 7. So we'll continue our NFL draft coverage leading up to the draft next Thursday. That'll do it for me here in Studio B. Big thanks to all our guests. And, of course, thank you for listening to the podcast for Saints and Pelicans fans, The Black and Blue Report. Until tomorrow, I'm Daniel Salerson. Have a great rest of your day.
Thanks for listening to this edition of the Black and Blue Report, presented by ABC Insurance Agencies. A better choice for insurance. If all goes well, we'll be back tomorrow. Tune in each weekday at noon Central or at your convenience exclusively online at Pelicans.com and NewOrleansSaints.com. Follow your teams direct from the source, the Black and Blue Report.